You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three. So far, we've had Dipper one, Anna Butters and Lee, and now I'm in Dipper number two. And y'all, this one's just bizarre. So the World Economic Forum. I don't know if you guys have watched any of the videos or seen some of the reporting. You know, I actually saw somebody on Twitter posted and said, if Elon Musk had not purchased Twitter, we would not even be able to see some of the videos of things coming out of the World Economic Forum. We wouldn't, because they wouldn't post them. But they're getting out now. And what I'm loving is that this is growing. The discontent with the idea that this elitist globalist organization, that all these world leaders are flocking to it to sound lofty when they get there. They sound important. We're going to talk about existentialism, and we're going to talk about things that are really important to us. And never mind what happens to the peasants of the world. We will take care of it. And I'm going to tell you right now, this guy Klaus Schwab, y'all, if he's not a Bond villain caricature, I don't know who is. And then you look at it and go, okay, something about the World Economic Forum just gives me the heebie-jeebies. I mean, I sort of feel like at some point in there, you're gonna wind up seeing, you know, Keanu Reeves coming through, you know, working for the members of the high table as an assassin. It has that feel to it, you know? But then at the same time, it's also clownish. You look at it and go, it also sort of has the feel of like an Austin Powers movie. like, you know, just kind of ridiculous. Like, do you really take yourself seriously? So, yeah, you know, I don't know what to think. I do know this. Here's one of the dangerous parts about it, is that world leaders flock to it. World leaders flock to this organization that meets in Davos, Switzerland. And the things they talk about, they then bring home as if they just gained something. It's like, I went to the conference and I learned what I should be doing in my role as leader of this country or whatever. Well, okay. First of all, it is like an episode of The Hunger Games. You look at some of the bizarreness of it and you say, How are we supposed to take you seriously? Like, I will say this. It's lampoonish, but I pulled this one off of MRC, and there was a bizarre ritual to kick things off. So they had multiple, like, world leaders and executives sitting up on stage, right? And they had a woman who was in some type of a Native American shaman, and I don't know what her, not Native American, I'm sorry, indigenous shaman. I don't know where she's from. Doesn't matter. Face was painted, had on her whatever her traditional garb was, and she literally conjured something. And I'm not saying that lightly. I mean, she literally, you could see she was praying to bring something. That was what she was doing. Her intent was to bring something up. And then she went over. And whereas a few years ago, the World Economic Forum told us we all had to wear a mask and social distance, she went over after doing whatever this conjuring prayer was, she went over and she coughed on each person's head. And you know, some would say she just exhaled whatever it was she was conjuring. I mean, the whole thing was weird. And I'm thinking, why are you starting off a World Economic Forum with this? And so, again, the whole thing has this weird, like, everybody eats granola and burns incense kind of feel, and yet it also feels somewhat evil. What you got?
I'm imagining they would raise Cain if somebody just wanted to pray before starting it.
Yeah. Could we please have someone come up and pray a Christian prayer. No, that cannot happen. They are the threat to the world right now. But yeah, like I don't know whether to look at Austin Powers or John Wick. I mean, I can't tell which is what is it.
Did they say anything like Hail Hydra anywhere in there?
Cut off one head, seven more arise. No. But then there's stuff like this that comes out of the World Economic Forum. One panelist, and by the way, I pulled this from two sources because I want to see how it's being reported. So I have this one very benign reporting from something called BNN. BNN is, I don't know, it's a news source from overseas. In a recent panel discussion at the World Economic Forum, the term ecocide was extended to include traditional farming and fishing practices. The assertion made by the panelist has stirred a lively debate on the environmental impact of human food production. Okay. Ecocide is a term usually used to describe the deliberate or negligent destruction of the natural environment by human actions. It has been gaining momentum in environmental circles. The use of the phrase in the context of farming and fishing was proposed by a panelist at the WEF. No, no, no. No, no, no. Let me bring in another source. How about Breitbart? Davos speaker demands the International Criminal Court prosecute ecocide and punish farmers alongside war criminals. Would we have known if it were not for the ability of some to get in there and find out what's happening? Yeah, so the International Criminal Court should add ecocide to its brief alongside genocide, crimes against humanity, and war crimes to criminalize the side effects of farming, fishing, and energy production, said a green activist speaking at the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland.
What did that buffoon go home and eat?
So you make a great point. I want to know how she even got there. Did she fly? I suspect she did. Did she? Was she wearing clothing that was somehow tied to, you know, petrochemicals? I suspect she was. Did she use a smartphone while she was there? I suspect she did. And at the same time, what did she eat while she was there? Your question is cogent, my friend.
How do you even, I mean, I can't even fathom that. It just, that is bonkers.
Well, she's the CEO of an organization called Stop Ecocide. Jojo Mehta is her name. Jojo.
Does she have more than one member? Probably.
Probably. Mehta, who co-founded Stop Ecocide in 2017 alongside the late green legal activist Polly Higgins, said, "What our organization and other collaborators aim to do is have this recognized legally as a serious crime, because one of the issues that pervades this discussion is that we have a culturally ingrained habit of not taking damage to nature as seriously as we take damage to people and property." So basically what she's saying is, here it is, hang on. Unlike an international crime like genocide that involves specific intent, with ecocide, what we see is that people are trying to do his business, to farm, to fish, to produce energy. But what is missing is their awareness and their conscience. So basically, they have to be punished. She went on to say, one can envisage, for example, that once the law is in place, a decision that leads to a new coal mine or a decision that leads to the opening of fossil fuel projects will have to be seriously rethought. Wow. Currently, 11 nations have codified the concept of ecocide into their criminal codes.
Farmers?
I don't know. A further 27 countries, including some EU member states, are actively considering following suit. You know why? Because their knucklehead leaders go to Davos, Switzerland, and hang out at this place and get into the Hunger Games mentality, and they come home saying stupid stuff like, you know, may the odds be ever in your favor. And this is, anyway,
I'd be fine if the world farmers just said, all right, we're just going to stop sending food to Switzerland. We're good. Sorry.
Yeah. Davos, you are welcome to eat cultured lab meat. Just saying. All right, I'm gonna flip this a little bit. We're going to come back from this break, and I got some good news, because you know what's kind of fun is there have been a few who have gotten in the door for the sole purpose of confronting the World Economic Forum's global elitist to their faces. And it's been fun. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, I tell you who else is saving the world one patient at a time. That's our friends over at Southern Immediate Care. So, yeah, Southern Immediate Care, a chain of clinics that covers a huge swath of ground right in our listening area. I mean, they're in places like Gadsden, Anniston, Atala, six locations around the Birmingham area. More on the way, I understand. Southern Immediate Care is doing an amazing amount of work. They are open 7 days a week, y'all. 7 days a week. You get sick on a weekend, no need to wait till Monday. Head on down. Southern Immediate Care. And oh, yes, by the way, this is who I use. And I don't say that lightly. I mean, and by the way, I don't say it too because, you know, they're advertising, so I try to use them. No. I was using them and so pleased with their performance that I thought, I'm going to ask them if they'll advertise. And they said yes. Then they're owned by a Right Side ruffian, so that helps. But every time I've walked through the front door of a Southern Immediate Care facility, it's always clean, professional, friendly. Love it. So, yeah, check them out. If you need medical attention that's not an emergency, you just go online, find the location nearest to you, Southern Immediate Care. And tell them when you're filling out the forms that you heard about it on Right Side. All right, let me just, I tell you what, I've got some stuff I want to cover, but I got to take a call right now from Jeff from Indiana. Hey, Jeff Rowe, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good, as long as I beat all this rain back to Indiana before it starts freezing on me.
Well, from what you said earlier, you're used to that kind of stuff.
I am, but nothing goes on freezing rain, unless you got a set of snow tires, maybe.
No, don't. Yeah, get on home, dude. Well, what you think about today's topics?
Hey, you know, they always want to ask the world court all these things, you know, and everything. I think we need to ask the world court to declare these people criminally insane. I mean, these people are idiots.
But they're given a forum. That's what, well, the World Economic Forum. They're actually given a microphone, and they're taken seriously. That's what boggles my mind. How did a woman who believes that we need to criminalize on the international level the idea of farming and fishing, how does she get an opportunity to come and speak to these people?
Well, it sounds to me like that the whole bunch of them are insane. I mean, not just her. If they're sitting there going around doing this stuff, the world would be such a better place if we just have these people declared legally insane. And you know, we used to have institutions to put these people. Now they're all out roaming around because we closed all of them.
Now they're all in Davos, Switzerland.
Exactly.
It's the biggest insane asylum we've got.
You know, if we built some asylums with the prison system and everything, we could eliminate all the Democrats because half of them would be in prison, the other half would be in the same asylum.
Listen, hey, what do you think about the stuff we talked about earlier with Texas? I know you were on the road. Did you hear the part about Texas resisting the federal government's attempts to work there in Eagle Pass?
Oh, of course, yeah. I think they need to stand their ground and everything. And it's like a question I asked you. You know, I don't think the fellows... you know, working for the government would go up against the National Guard, you know. I can't see it. That'd be like a civil war amongst ourselves. I mean, if somebody gave you an order to, you know, go and take something out and you had that, you know, would you follow that order? And, you know, I don't think they would follow those orders.
No. In fact, I think, I mean, if I was told to go and do so and I could see them creating mayhem and they were hurting people and there was, you know, they were tearing property up, then I would say that's my duty. But watching other guys who've just been ordered by their governor to do nothing but put up barriers and stop illegals, which I don't want here either, I just, that's an order that I'd have to say, I'm sorry, sir, I can't. I mean, you're not required to follow an unethical or an immoral or an illegal order. And the idea of going and taking action against fellow service members who are not doing anything other than following lawful orders is too far afield for me. I can't imagine it get to that point.
How would the Supreme Court do this if you know, basically these laws are on the books and they're supposed to be abiding by them, and they don't? I mean, could they force the administration to follow the law? I mean,
they could.
You know, they're not doing it.
They could. They could. What they could do is say. They could construe the 10th Amendment as giving, because right now the Biden administration says your job is not the border, and Texas is saying it's our border too, and so what and they could also say federal law is what handles immigration, and the state's saying, but you're not doing it, so all we're doing is enforcing your federal law. So what the U.S. Supreme Court could do is it could come back. If they took this up, they could take it up one day and say the 10th Amendment is construed to mean that you are allowed to do that. Or they could say, Texas, you're wrong. That's not the way it works. At that point, Congress would have to get involved to change the law to make it available. So I don't know. I don't know which way it's going to go. But right now, Texas believes it has the law in its favor, and it's standing its ground.
We just got to impeach Biden and then Kamala Harris or whatever. Can you impeach somebody for being too stupid to lead? I don't know if that's an impeachable offense or not.
Yes, actually you can, but you just have to call it dereliction of duty. You can't call it stupid. All right, man. Hey, be safe on the road. Get home before the weather, all right?
Thank you, Phil. You all have a good one.
All right, we'll see you. I'll tell you what, I got a couple of text messages I'll take real quick. Oh, TL. He's ahead of me. I'm going there, TL. I'm going there next. He says Argentine President Javier Milei, I can't remember pronounce his name. Javier Milei said in his speech to the WEF, "We have come here today to invite the Western world to get back on the path to prosperity. Economic freedom, limited government, unlimited respect for private property are essential elements for economic growth." Yeah, and he went on to basically say that collectivism is a fantasy. I've got that coming up in the next segment. I'll cover down on that because, yes, he's one of the ones that I've got in my queue here that went to Davos, Switzerland for the sole purpose of calling them out to their faces, and it was epic. John from Huntsville just said, I just wanted to say that a cat would be the best president we could ask for because it would get rid of all the rats in the White House, which means no Democrats.
Ouch.
See what he did there. Gary H., where are we, Gary? By the way, Gary was pointing out to me we were hot micing at one point. He said it was like bleeding over the commercials. Well, I don't think we said anything untoward. I believe we were okay. We were still appropriate. So there's no. We have a special red button here in the studio that we can hit if somebody says a bad thing, and that's not happening.
We don't ever say bad things, Phil. I don't even imagine how that could. It is for others that might call and say bad things.
If I wouldn't say it to your face or about you in a known open mic, then I wouldn't say it in a closed mic. So, although we did have one time during a break when we accidentally streamed when somebody, I won't say who, was waiting to come on and they said something that shouldn't have been said. Yes, we had to apply some self-correction.
And the Democrats start digging through historical records.
They won't find it. Racing from Hawaii is texting in. His VP pick is Clint Lawrence. Wow. And press secretary would be Candace Owens. Candace Owens would rip people a new one. She would be a hoot. She would look right at them and do like she did on the stage one day and say, "Life's hard, man. Get a helmet." Next question. Ken from Harvest says, "Tim Scott make a good VP." I agree. I think so, too. He's got the conservative credentials. It'd be interesting to see what he could do with the African-American vote. And oh, by the way, he's from South Carolina, which is a big primary state. And then Jerry from Decatur says, "Remember, Texas was a republic before it became a state." Airborne, Jerry. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, last half hour coming up. Y'all stay tuned. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, Alabama. And y'all, I'm talking about, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, even Mississippi all thrown in, just for good measure. All right, so I'm in number two of the Triple Dipper, the World Economic Forum Hunger Games, I'm calling it, because take that in two ways. Number one is they are like an episode of the Hunger Games. They are wacky. They are, on the one hand, seemingly cartoonish and able to be so easily lampooned or caricatured, and yet there's also this evil sense about them, like Bond villain evil sense, like they've got designs upon your life. Well, I think that's actually true. I think they do. I think the World Economic Forum believes that it is in the know, and you are not, and they need to tell you because you don't seem to understand, and therefore they are gathering together because their cabal will bring order to your chaos. So I got a piece here from hotair.com. Hotair.com, a guy named David Strom wrote this a couple days ago, and he's talking about the fact that they're no longer even hiding who they are or what they want. He says they're proud of what they're doing. You can go to the websites of major corporations, universities, our own federal government, or most conveniently, the World Economic Forum's own website. You can. I've done it. And you can see the dystopia they have planned for you. He said it boils down to this. Their mission is let your betters run your lives, and by the way, we are your betters. Sometimes they say it with a, it's good for you to listen to us kind of spin, and sometimes it's more along the menacing way of, you will do what we say if you know what is good for you spin. He said the theme for this year's meeting is called, quote, regaining trust, which is a hoot because if the past several years have told you anything, it's that you absolutely positively should not trust these elites. Not only are they perfectly willing to lie to you for your own good, but they are determined to make you do so. So the World Economic Forum is, by the way, convinced that anything about them that is just being said that's just somehow in some way, you know, taking them down a notch is misinformation. So therefore, their way of handling it is to basically try to monitor everything you say. They ask for that kind of thing. They want more monitoring. They want misinformation to be taken down, but yet they decide what misinformation is. They want to decide things about the environment, whereas no one walking around outside of their bubble feels overly oppressed or recognizes that, you know, cold comes in the winter and hot comes in the summer, and that's the way things have always been. They do things like, basically the article says, they try to do things like blunting our humanity using drugs and soft coercion and the taming of the human soul. It's the goal of the World Economic Forum, the author says, and the transnational elites. And if you doubt it, they are happy to explain it to you. Well, if I had a high point in all of this, it's that we had a couple of people, at least a couple, that went to Davos, Switzerland for the sole purpose of speaking truth to their so-called power. One of which was the Argentinian president. By the way, if you're not familiar with Javier Milei, I'm really starting to catch on to this guy. My first thought was, is he real? Is this real? He's real. He went and gave a speech and basically told them to their faces that they are the problem. He said, today I'm here to tell you the Western world is in danger. It is in danger because those who have supposed to have defended the values of the West are co-opted by a vision of the world that inevitably leads to socialism and thereby to poverty. He went on to say, motivated by some well-meaning individuals willing to help others and others motivated by the wish to belong to a privileged caste, the main leaders of the Western world have abandoned the model of freedom for different versions of what we call collectivism. He basically went to Davos to speak against the ills of socialism to elite socialists to their face. And if you haven't seen the video, listen, it's on social media everywhere. Just type in Javier Milei speech in Davos. You're going to get it. And it is something to behold. But the other one who did an amazing job, and I love this, was an American, the president of the Heritage Foundation. If you're not familiar with him, his name is Kevin Roberts. He is the president of the Heritage Foundation, a conservative think tank that's a lot like a national level of our Alabama Policy Institute that you hear about all the time on this show. Kevin Roberts went to Davos, and he was given the opportunity to speak, and he was speaking kind of in a forum, like he had somebody, like a moderator, who asked him a question. But the moderator was already taking issue with him before he even started. And he just went. And this is like 3 minutes. So what I'm going to do is probably let a little bit play, and then I'll break in and talk a minute, and then we might play the rest of it. But he just did an amazing job of tearing them down. Oh, look, Butters, right now on the screen, there's the woman coughing on there's the shaman coughing on their heads, and they're all just sitting there loving it.
I'm going to not look.
Yeah, it's disturbing. Let's play that clip of Kevin Roberts. You ready? Go ahead.
It's laughable that you would, or anyone would, describe Davos as protecting liberal democracy. It's equally,
standing up for it.
It's equally laughable to use the word dictatorship at Davos and aim that at President Trump. In fact, I think that's absurd. But I'm going to step aside from that constructive criticism and instead answer your question.
Yep.
And I'm going to be substantive here. President Trump, if he's the next president, for that matter, I think whoever the next conservative president is going to take on the power of the elites, which I mentioned earlier. But the thing that I want to drive home here, the very reason that I'm here at Davos, is to explain to many people in this room and who are watching, with all due respect, nothing personal, but that you're part of the problem. Political elites tell the average people on 3 or 4 or 5 issues that the reality is X, when in fact reality is Y. Take immigration. Elites tell us that open borders and even illegal immigration are okay. The average person tells us in the United States that both rob them of the American way of life.
Yes.
They're right. President Trump will take that on behalf of the average American. Elites also tell us that public safety isn't a problem in big American cities. Just travel to New York or Washington or Dallas, Texas. The average person will tell you that the lack of public safety damages not just the American way of life, but their life. President Trump will take that on. Thirdly, I guess the favorite at the World Economic Forum, is climate change.
Oh, yeah.
Elites tell us that we have this existential crisis with so-called climate change, so much so that climate alarmism is probably the greatest cause for mental health crisis in the world. The solutions the average person know based on climate change are far worse and more harmful and cost more human lives, especially in Europe during the time that you need heating, than do the problem and the problems themselves. Fourth,
stop
two
there.
More here.
Stop there. Stop there a second. So he I mean, listen, I am so proud of this. Kevin Roberts, an American, thank God. On the one hand, I'm really proud of Javier Milei going from Argentina, but I'm thinking, why is it got to be an Argentinian? Why can't we do this? Well, we're doing this. Kevin Roberts, I don't know, make him president of the United States. Heritage Foundation president. Keep in mind, what you're hearing him say is on the stage at Davos with a Davos World Economic Forum total groupie asking him questions who is trying to break in and take issue, but he can't. And so far, he's punching back saying, immigration? No. We don't see it the way you do. Open borders? No. Public safety? If you're going to go soft on crime, it's going to cause my life to have problems. And climate change? Holy smokes. You know, when you're saying we have an existential crisis and you're creating alarmism and you're creating mental health in some places around the world that is perilous because people are worried about what you're saying, and there's zero evidence in the lives of the average daily citizen that the world is coming to an end next week because of your so-called climate change. Keep in mind, We're not so old that we can't remember that you tried to bamboozle us with, first it was what? Acid rain. Then it was global warming. And then it was global cooling. And now it's just climate change because you got to have a way to catch it all. It's a mess. Let's play a little more of that. Go ahead and play a little more.
Robin. Okay. The fourth, China. The number one adversary, not just to the United States, but to free people on planet Earth. Not only do we at Davos not say that, we give the Chinese Communist Party a platform. Count on President Trump ending that nonsense. And fifth, as we sit here, another supranational organization, the World Health Organization, is discussing foisting gender ideology upon the global South. These are practices that are under review, if not being rejected, by countries in Northern Europe. The new president, especially if it's President Trump, will, as you like to say, trust the science. He will understand the basic biological reality of manhood and womanhood. And do you know why? Not because of retribution, not because he's a dictator, but because he has the power of the American people behind him. And it's connected to Senator Portman's excellent point that in addition to needing a vigorous executive, we look forward to having the popular will inform both the House and Senate in 2025 to pass laws on all of those issues and many others. Ultimately, Robin, I think President Trump, if in fact he wins a second term, is going to be inspired by the wise words of Javier Milei, who said that he was in power not to guide sheep, but to awaken lions. Woo. That's what the average Woo. American and the average free person on planet Earth wants out of leaders.
Stop it right there. Hang on. I'm writing this down because I don't want to forget that last part. I mean, that was some wisdom. That was, by the way, that's what you call a calm, cool, collected butt whooping, is what that was. The man sat there on the stage with an audience full of Davos groupies and acolytes and Klaus Schwab's wannabes and climate change activists and people who hate America and the free markets and capitalism and the idea that we have freedom of speech. This room full of people that believes that they have an elitist mentality that gives them an edge because they can fly to Switzerland and talk, and we can't. And he just tore them down, just ripped them a new one without ever once raising his voice. He talked about the next president bringing in what he called the popular will. And I love that line, that we are there not to guide sheep, but to empower lions. That is huge, y'all.
Yeah, I'd encourage everybody, jump on Twitter and find that clip. I saw you shared it on Twitter.
I did.
It's even better when you can have him looking across the stage at different people as he's making certain points.
Yeah, that's Kevin Roberts, president of the Heritage Foundation, speaking in Davos, Switzerland. I did post it on my Twitter. If you're on Twitter, you can find me at Sen Phil Williams, S-E-N, at Sen Phil Williams. It is worth it. In fact, what's funny is I prepared this whole segment and didn't even see that clip until lunchtime today. I think I sent it to you late. But thank you for getting that ready. All right, brother, let's take the last break of the day. We'll take that break. We'll come right back. World Economic Forum, Hunger Games. What do you think? Give me your text. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower. I mean, I'm going to tell you right now, that guy Kevin Roberts, I am fired up by that speech. In fact, so much so that I during the break, I told Butters, I'm going to look him up and find out what his bio is, where he came. So he came out of the Texas Public Policy Foundation, which is the Texas version of API. What I didn't realize till I was looking at his piece on Heritage, he actually wrote something on January, he wrote it a week ago, why I am going to Davos. And it's as good as his speech. So I scanned a little bit of it. I'll read you a couple excerpts here real quick.
All right.
He says, I don't typically go where I'm not wanted, but I do tend to go where I'm needed. So I was intrigued by the invitation to attend a globalist sleepaway camp in the beautiful Swiss Alps in some pop-up utopia called Davos. At first, it sounded as dreadful as a road trip with the New York Times editorial board. The infamous, hypocritical, self-avowed Marxists, their private jet environmentalists, and the genocide-adjacent humanitarians apparently want to hear from the Heritage Foundation how they can rebuild trust with everyday Americans, whom they have weaponized their institutions against. It goes on from there. He says, the biblical principle of cast not your pearls before swine came to mind. But a deeply meaningful part of my role at Heritage is to represent the voice of millions of forgotten men and women across the country. And so he went. And he wrote that a week. I mean, that's on his website. So before he gets there, anybody who wants to can go see how he feels about them before he arrives.
As if they had to guess.
Do what?
As if they had to guess.
I mean, I guess good on them for asking him. What they were doing was they were seeking. We gotta figure out how to make people trust us. Hey, you, would you come? Sure, I'll tell you. He did start off by saying in his writing, which I think that recording we had a minute ago, that audio, he went off script for that. That was off the cuff.
Yeah.
But his writing, he says, first, trust must be earned, and global elites have failed on that score. And he goes in and talks about that for a bit. Then he says, national leaders at this conference openly reject the nation state, and they refuse to secure their own besieged borders. And he talks about that for a bit. He said, there's no mystery here. Around the world, people distrust global elites because they hate us. They use their power to disempower us, and their cultural influence to smear anyone who questions their self-serving corruption. He was laying it on thick as jam on bread, brother.
So you going to Davos next year?
I am ready. If they'll invite me, I'll come give them a speech. By God. I'll wear my Right Side Ruffian t-shirt.
That sounds like a good Right Side Ruffian field trip.
You know, there is a guy, by the way, I got to track him down. His name's Larry Alex Taunton, and I don't really know him, but I know people that know him. And I believe he's from Alabama. And I saw online that he is from Alabama, and he went to Davos for the sole reason of snooping around and seeing what he could see. And I need to track him down and see if I can get him on the show.
I don't know if I could handle that. I do not have the mentality to remain calm and...
You want to fire up the weapon systems and go ahead.
This is just absurd. It's just absolutely, yes. We need the war criminals and the farmers. The farmers. Yeah. They're just destroying everything.
Genocide and farming go hand in hand. We call it ecocide. By the way, Raven from Russellville texted in. He says, the sheep fear the wolf. The sheepdog lives for the day when the wolf comes. Be the sheepdog. Trust Raven to have me a quote that I want to put on a bumper sticker. Thank you, Raven. And then John from Huntsville did text in. He goes, Butters and Lee both get an A+ for their equally fantastic performances. They did not earn any extra credit points because neither one of them had a funny story of the day. Phil, you gave an absolutely amazing performance today. You are today's winner with an A++. Congratulations and have a lovely evening. Thank you, John. Appreciate you. Well, listen, it has been an amazing day. And these are sobering topics. And I mean, when you think about what's happening in Texas and our southern border, when you think about the World Economic Forum trying to talk down to us at all times, and things I didn't even get into, like we'll talk about tomorrow with Big Brother actually watching what you're shopping for. I will say this. I said it early in the show, and I mean it with all my heart. God is still on his throne. God is still on his throne. Not a bit of this rocked him. God is still on his throne. Let that be something that you take to bed with you tonight. That tomorrow the sun will rise, and God is still on his throne. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, Butters and I back here tomorrow, too. We will see you then.
Ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right.